Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we're in our 21st year now bringing these messages to you. And we praise the Lord for this day. Thank the Lord for all the blessings He has bestowed upon us. We thank the Lord for this radio station and for you, the listener. Most of all, if you tuned in today for the very first time, we say thank you to you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday schedule. And for those of you who've been with us for many years, we appreciate you, and we owe a debt of gratitude to you for tuning in every Sunday, for supporting this ministry. And so we're going to look today at a big subject in the Bible on health and healing. Where does healing come from? Where does sickness come from? All these big issues, and it affects every single person on the earth. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we get into the message today, just want to give you a brief update. What's going on over in Kenya? We're preparing the land to plant again. We'll be planting about the middle of August, and it'll be a what they call the short rain crop or the short rain season. Rains in September, October, November, and that is a little bit shorter than the spring rains, but it's sufficient to grow a good maize crop, good beans and vegetables, and so we're preparing the land. We're also building a school over there. We need money to keep going on the school project. We're stalled right now, and so if you could help with any amount of money, we need to buy bricks and cement and sand. We're building a school for 200 to 300 students from Makunda Village. Many of them will be of a different faith, and so it'll be an important evangelism outreach to these students, as well as teaching them the basics of education, the ABCs. Many of these students come from very poor families, and many of them drop out of the schools that they're going now. So we're going to try to keep them in school, teach them, and at the same time, in a good Christian environment, tell them about Jesus Christ, sing songs about Jesus, and they will come to know Him as Lord and Savior. So if you can help us with that project, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and I'll let you know more of the details, get you involved, and we would appreciate that very much. Well, today we're going to be talking about health and healing, big subject. Much of the time, much of the resources, and much of the energy for people here in the United States of America has to do with health, has to do with surgeries, has to do with chronic illness, cancers, and such. And so this is a big subject, and healing is a big subject that is covered in the Bible, covered extensively in the Bible. And many of the people in the Bible suffered from sickness. If you read through the Old Testament, the kings of the Old Testament, many of them, there was commentary about them, about their sicknesses, their ailments. And also in the New Testament, Jesus had some things to say about health and healing. And so it's a big subject. And if you are sick today, you will want to pay particular attention. If you have chronic illness, you will want to pay particular attention. And if you're healthy, praise God for that. If you're healthy and feeling strong, feeling good, give the Lord thanks for where you are today. Give the Lord praise for where you are today. And understand this, that at any time, your body can succumb to sickness and illness and accidents that lead to sickness and illness. And so it's a blessing if you have good health. It's a blessing if you're feeling strong today. So give the Lord blessings that is due to Him today. Well, where does sickness come from? That is the big question that we're going to start with today. Where does sickness come from? If we understand the nature of sickness, where it comes from, how it entered the world, then we can have a better understanding of how to deal with it and how to deal with it in our own particular body or our children And if we look in the Bible, we will see that Adam and Eve lived in a perfect place in the Garden of Eden. And you can check that out in Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve were in a perfect place. They walked in the garden with God every single day. They had no pain. They had no sorrow. They had no issues to shed tears over. And the food was perfect. Everything they ate was perfect. Had no insecticides or pesticides on it. The water had no fluorine or chlorine in it. And so they lived in a perfect environment. But Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, "The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." And so the thief came into the garden just as the same as the thief comes into our life today. And he comes for one purpose. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so that's why he approached Adam and Eve. He approached them because he wanted to destroy what they had in the garden. Well, if you look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman," that is Eve, he said, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And then the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate of it, and then she gave it to her husband, and he also ate." Well, there's the story right there, beloved. There is the story of the fall of man. Eve did not believe that God had told her the truth, and she questioned God because the devil made her question God. She questioned God and she said, "I'm thinking you're right, devil. I'm thinking you're probably right that I can go ahead and eat of that tree, even though God told me not to eat of that tree. And I'm going to get wise. I'm going to get wisdom that I don't have. And it's something about the lure of that tree, and the fruit of that tree has drawn me to it, and now you've convinced me that it's okay to eat it, and that God is going to be okay with me eating that fruit." Well, that's the same tactic the devil uses on every single person. That's the very same tactic he uses today, now thousands of years later, after Adam and Eve. And the fall of Adam and Eve brought sickness and death into the world. The fall of Adam and Eve, the sin of Adam. The Bible tells us that Eve was deceived, but Adam is the one that sinned, and that has brought sickness. The fall has brought sickness and death and sorrow and pain and all of these things that we associate with misery on the earth. That came through the fall of Adam and Eve, and it came through the sin of questioning God. When the devil called God a liar and questioned God, and Eve came into agreement with the devil, then the fall happened, and Adam and Eve were pushed out of the garden, the place of bliss where they walked with God. They were pushed out of the garden and were never allowed to go back. And so we live in the same world today that Adam and Eve lived in after they were pushed out of the garden. We live in the very same world. And so Genesis 3:17 wraps up this sad tale, and it's to Adam the Lord spoke. He said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, but thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. By the sweat of your face, or the sweat of your brow, you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of the ground you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And so the curse then was placed on Adam and Eve. Cursed is the ground. The curse was placed on the ground. Before that, the ground offered nothing but pure blessings. And so the curse came on the ground. It came on Adam and Eve as they walked on the ground. And the Lord says that thorns and thistles is going to be your struggle. You're going to struggle because thorns and thistles are going to try to take over your ground. And by the sweat of your brow, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be work. It's going to be difficult getting produce from the ground, getting crops from the ground, getting food to eat. It's not going to be a simple thing for you. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be difficult, and it's going to cause your body to wear out and to wear down and to eventually get sick and to eventually die. And so that's where we live in that world today, the world that Adam and Eve were pushed out into, and they could not go back into the garden. We can't go back into the garden. The only way that we can have some measure of bliss, some measure of blessing here on the earth, is to come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We can go back to the garden to some extent, although we still have to deal with sickness in our body, tiredness in our body, maladies and infirmities that make us weary, that make us sick, put us in the hospital. And so that is the way that the devil came in to Adam and Eve's life, and it brought misery to all of mankind. Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it tells us that we are three-part beings. This is the Apostle Paul teaching to the Thessalonica church in Thessalonica in one of his missionary journeys. And so in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Apostle Paul is giving them a departing salutation. He says, "Now may the God of peace sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord." And so Paul defines us as three-part beings. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body, or we are spirit, soul, and flesh. The spirit is that part of us that wants to communicate with God. Our spirit is made in the image of God. Our human spirit is made, not talking about the Holy Spirit here, I'm talking about your human spirit, is that part that is made in the image of God, wants to communicate with God, wants to hear from God, made in the image of God. And so that spirit is the pure part of us that wants to communicate with God. The soul is the intermediary between the spirit and the fleshly part of us, or the body. And so we have an intermediary, the soul, that is also an eternal being. The spirit and the soul are eternal. They live on for all eternity. And the body, of course, is that fleshly part of us that people recognize when they see you. They see a body, they see your hair, they see your hands, your feet, and whether you're big, whether you're small, whether you're skinny, whether you're fat, all of these things. The body then is a recognizable part of you that interacts with the world around you. And the body, the flesh, is where the devil tempts you. The devil always tempts us because he knows that the flesh is weak. He knows that the body wants things of this world, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. And so the flesh is that part that we want to coddle, that we want to always take care of and pamper and feed the flesh with food and with drink and with entertainment and all of these things. And so the flesh feeds into the soul, which is the intermediary. And so our soul makes attachments with things in the world. It makes attachments with physical things, it makes attachments with material things, makes attachments with other people, and so our soul then is the part of us that feeds into the spirit that we have, and our soul also then is the connection to the flesh, and that flesh is what we deal with when we get sick. The flesh is what has to be dealt with, has to be taken care of, and certainly in accidents, like car accidents or construction accidents, the flesh has to be dealt with, bones have to be set, and cuts have to be sewn up and put back together. All kinds of surgeries in the U.S. now have to do with joint replacement and knee joint replacement, surgeries to put in pacemakers, all this kind of stuff deals with the flesh. And so we are a complicated being, and it's a wonder that we can even live to be 80. The Bible says that we are expected to have a lifespan of 70. That's 70 years. Or if by strength, 80. And so, beloved, if you are out there today and you've made it to 80 years, give God praise for that. You've had a strong body and you withstood the test of time over 80 years. If you're 70, take care of yourself. You might make it to 80. You might make it to 90. My dear mother died 2 years ago, passed on to her heavenly home, and she was 98 and a half years. And so she took very good care of herself over the years, walked just about every day, even up to the point of her death. And so if you take care of yourself, honor your body, put good food in your body, get good rest, you can live to be an old person if that is God's will. Romans 8, verse 10, talks about the spirit realm of Christ Jesus in you and how God has granted our spirit to be quickened and to give us strength and resurrection power. Romans 8:10, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Although you look at people, our body is dead because of sin, and that's what eventually causes us to die, is that sin nature that we have, that we inherited from Adam, that sin nature is what takes us to our death. But Paul says, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him, that is God, but if the spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through the spirit who dwells in you. And verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Well, Paul is introducing an idea here that the Spirit given to us by God, the same Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, a dead person, God raised that person from the dead, gave Jesus Christ life after 3 days. He says that same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And so if you can grasp that idea, if you can comprehend that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you through the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of God. When you become a believer, when you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes to abide in you and with you. That is the very same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. And so, beloved, on a daily basis, to give thanks to the Lord, to give praise to God, to give honor to God for your life, it will give life to you. It will extend your years. That same Spirit, he will give you an extension of your life, and you can know that you have strength from God. You can know that you have extended days from God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I've had people tell me two or three times, prophesy over me in my life, in my ministry life. I've had people say that the Lord is going to extend your life because you're obedient, because of your obedience to Him in things that He has asked you to do. The Lord is going to extend your life and give you more days in your life. And so when you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. If your attitude towards life is, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If that's your attitude towards life, you may die tomorrow. You may shorten your life when all of your earthly pursuits center around eat, drink, and be merry, and you just eat until you're a glutton, and you drink until you're a drunkard, and you just want to party, or if you're a young person and you just want to party and drink and do drugs and live a crazy life, you are signing your death warrant. Ultimately, of course, it's up to God. Ultimately, of course, He's the one who numbers our days. But I can tell you, because I lived that lifestyle for a few years, when you give your life over to wanton living, and you give your life over to carelessness and doing a lot of crazy stuff, drinking and drugs and not paying attention to taking care of yourself, you are signing an early death warrant for yourself. And we know many people who are involved in drugs and alcohol end up in car accidents, they end up in drug overdose, they end up in a lot of different ways, alcohol, cirrhosis of the liver, and a lot of different ways they end up shortening their life with their choices to give their life over to fleshly pleasure. The body degrades by attachments to the demonic world that attach to the soul, and the toil required to obtain food, which basically you could say that the toil required to obtain food degrades our body, makes it difficult, just like the curse was put on Adam and Eve. And the curse led Adam and Eve to a place where they had to go out and toil for food. Well, Adam lived to be 930 years by the grace of God. God blessed all of the people in that day of great longevity of life, which we don't have. We have at the most 100, 110 years for most people. Occasionally somebody on the earth pops up and they have lived 115 or 120 years, but it's very, very unusual. And that is the life that we have here on the earth. Well, I'm going to close today in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And this is in the Old Testament. Moses is writing to the people of Israel. And next week we're going to talk more about healing and miraculous healing, the gifts of healing, those kind of things that have to do with more New Testament teaching. And we'll look at that next week. But in the Old Testament, God has warned the people about the way they live, the way they live in relationship to Him, and how it's going to affect them. And so in Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 1, this is a powerful chapter. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, that's your children, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl, and blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. That's the blessings right there. But then if you look over in the other part, the latter part of this chapter, starting in verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you, overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in and when you go out. And the Lord will cause you, in verse 26, that your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. And the Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with the tumors, with the scab, and with the itch, from which you cannot be healed. And the Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. Well, doesn't that sound like where we're at in America today? And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. Well, this goes on. Deuteronomy 28 is a long chapter, but basically, the Lord is offering us the blessings or the curses. Choose this day for yourself. Choose the blessings if you want to have blessings on your life and on your children and on your flocks and on your crops. Choose the blessings of the Lord. But if you want to have the curses, reap the curses. And I know, I understand, we all live in a cursed world. But if you choose the curses for your life and deny God and deny Jesus Christ, those curses are multiplied in your life and you will suffer because of it. We'll take this up more next week. It's a big subject, as I said. We'll take it up more next week in aspects of health and healing. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to help us keep this ministry on the air, keep these radio broadcasts coming. You can contact us at Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can go to PayPal, use your debit or credit card, paypal.me/gatheroutcasts, or you can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/Jim Rowell. We'd love to hear from you. Help us keep these radio broadcasts coming. Help us with the ministry in Africa. And God will bless you. God will bless us. And the kingdom of God will move forward. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.